I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to highlight that we're going to have discussions around the topics of grooming and statutory rape, so please take care when listening.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. We've got a very fun episode for you today. There's so much juiciness in this episode. We haven't even started talking, but I already know. And we are talking about May December. May December is 20 years after their notorious tabloid romance gripped the nation. A married couple buckles under pressure when an actress arrives to do research for a film about their past. The film is directed by Todd Haynes. It's written by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic, starring Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore, and Charles Melton. It's produced by Natalie Portman as well.
Right.
So you can watch it on Sky or Now TV if you're in the UK, and if you're in the US, you can watch it on Netflix. I don't know where it is anywhere else, but check it out. It's very good. Stay tuned for this episode. We're going to be talking about the thing I'm most excited about is the real story that this was inspired by, and also how much involvement those people had in getting this made.
Yeah.
The tone of it, which I think is so specific and interesting, the lens through which this is told. So the actor coming in, and I'd love to speak to you about method actors and all of that stuff. And I'm sure a ton more. But first, before we dive in, how are you both doing?
This week has been really great fun. I've been learning how to make pinch pots. Because I don't have a kiln or like a wheel yet, but I've just been practicing pinch pots.
Nice.
And I quite enjoy it because, it's just like a little technique where you just like pinch a pot.
Yeah. We really got into, we did it twice. We did some clay, like dry, is it called when you like wet clay or dry clay? Anyway, we did some of that stuff when we were in lockdown and it was great fun.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's just like very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Gorgeous outcome as well.
Yeah, I love having little pots for my things. I have lots of things, you know, just like always collecting stuff. Like if someone gives me a pin in a goodie bag, I've got every single pin someone's ever given me in a goodie bag. So I can imagine in my 26 years, a lot of goodie bags, a lot of pins. Anyway, what about you, Larry? What have you been doing?
I have been working and going for walks with my dog and seeing my family, which has been really nice. My favourite thing to do, be with the fam.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been good. How about you?
Well, speaking of dogs, I've been trying to make Teddy feel loved again.
Bless him.
Yeah, because since Daisy
he's taking it bad.
Yeah. He's taken a little hit in the affection department.
He wouldn't look at her at first.
He didn't look at her for at least 4 weeks. Oh, just no. Would not look at her. He's like this.
Yeah. It sounds petty, but I could imagine being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the youngest, so you wouldn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I never had to. I'm the Daisy in the situation.
It must be really, really hard.
Yeah.
Especially for my dog. So I've been trying to really take a moment to give him some attention and build our relationship back up again. I know it sounds silly, but it's not actually, because you've all got dogs.
It's not, yeah.
But he means so much to me. Yeah. And I feel bad that he doesn't feel as loved as he used to.
Oh, bless him.
Got a bond with him again. Mm. That's nice. That's great. I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he appreciates it.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great. Well, glad to hear you're both doing well with your pinch pots and your families. So, May, December. I think you might have told me about this film when you first watched and you were like, we have to do it on the podcast. Or you said, you have to watch it. What are the two things? Probably both at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. We watched it together.
Yeah, we watched it together. Oh. I'd seen lots of... I'd been told to watch... Not like directly told, but like people on Instagram were like, you must watch this film.
Yeah.
To their audiences. Me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, this is like quite something. And then we watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it... Actually, I'd say that the first viewing wasn't as great as the second viewing because we were chatting through parts of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you think that first time you viewed it and what was the difference the second time you viewed it?
Well, I think the first time I viewed it, like, I was, like, not really in, like, the most amazing mood because I was with Lowry and I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Drag, let's put a film on, quick.
What are we going to talk about? No, I think I was just, like, super sleepy. I was, like, curled up on your sofa and I was just, like, it was the end of the day. You remember? I was, like, all curled up. We made a fire. It was real cute. It was right before Christmas. But, yeah, I think I was just, like, feeling a little sleepy, a little, like... So I felt like the movie was, like, very, like... dry and slow and painful and like thoughtful. But on the second watch, I was like, this is kind of like funny. Like it's kind of it's not a satire at all, but it's like the editing and the like dramatics of the score are actually something I think to like giggle at a bit. So I just enjoyed it so much more because I wasn't taking it so seriously. Even though they're, of course, talking about very serious things, I just let myself, like, da-da, da-da, just, like, get into the drama of it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, not take it so seriously.
Mm.
Yeah. I agree that on second watch, I watched it better. It had my full focus. And I just think it's a really... unique way of telling a story, which I'm sure we'll get into that more in a bit, but I loved it for that in like the first instance. And then all of the characters in it, like I was just like, wait, whose story is this? And I actually think it was Charles Melton's Joe's story in the end, which is interesting because at first I hadn't thought that. I thought it was the two women's. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really unique.
Mm.
What about you?
That's really funny. I feel like if I was not fully focused on it, I think I would probably take away the same thing on a watch. Yeah, where I wasn't. Because I think the tone of it is so strange, really. But I loved it because I loved it because I had already heard from you guys how great it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not expecting, hang on a minute, let me just rewind. I was not expecting this to be based on something which I already had a really big knowledge on.
Oh, really?
You? Yeah.
I didn't know anything.
No, neither.
Oh. Right.
I didn't know that it was based on something real. I thought that it was just a fictional story.
And do you know now?
Well, sort of. Like, I read a little bit, but I don't know much about the real story. I haven't done a huge dig on it.
No, that's good.
I knew that it was based on truth, but this was the first time I was finding out what, like, the story.
Wow. Okay. I went down a rabbit hole with this story. And now that I'm, like, piecing things back together, I'm like, did they release or push a lot of these videos of the real-life couple... who this is loosely based on. They don't, it's not a biopic.
Mm-hmm. So actually, maybe I don't know this full thing. So was the actress, is the acting part true? Like Natalie Portman's character, is that part true?
Well, I couldn't find out the information for that, but there was this really funny looking TV movie which was made about Mary Kay Letourneau and Villy Falau, which this story is based on, called All American Girl,
Right. Mm.
So choosing to explore it through the eyes of an actor could be based on the fact that someone did make a movie about them way back. But we don't know if this is something that actually happened with the real woman, like having an actor come into her home.
I couldn't find that out. I don't think it is true. So shall I tell you the full thing about? Okay. So Mary Kay Letourneau and Willy Fallau, same age difference. So I think he was 12 or 13 and she was 35 or 36 when they first had sex. How they met is different. So in this story, Joe and Gracie meet because they both work in a pet store. But Mary Kay Letourneau and Willy Fallau met because she was his teacher. Their relationship started after she was his teacher. But who cares? But that's how the relationship started. And the reason why I knew this story and it dawned on me when I was watching it is because there was loads of TikTok videos probably like 6 months ago. And they do like they've got like a few interviews where they speak to each other because they ended up getting married in the end, like same thing as this story. And it's them speaking and being interviewed. And then it just dawned on me, I was watching, I was like, this sounds like that case. And it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
And she's just as away with the fairies really as...
But how does that happen? And oh, she went to prison.
She did go to prison.
Right, yeah. But they still stayed together.
Yeah.
Do you know how long she was in prison for?
I can't remember. I think she came out of prison. She got pregnant. She came out of prison. And they had an order on her that she wasn't allowed to see Willy Fallau. And she got pregnant with him again during that time. And then I think she went back to prison. And then they...
he was of age.
Yeah.
And then they got married.
And then they got married, yeah.
That's mad that she got out twice. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad.
I really recommend digging out this one interview in particular with an Australian journalist where the power dynamic is like electric. And that's why it's so memorable. The way that she speaks to Willy, like the real couple, the way she speaks to him is very, there's a power dynamic there, which is really uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Oh, God.
So this story, May December Now, is based on that. However, I've not really seen Todd Haynes say anything about that connection. And maybe I haven't like dug enough. So it's not like it hasn't been...
Maybe that's a legal thing.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Ah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had also... Yeah, in everything that I've seen, like there's been that link. And that it is kind of based on that. But yeah, that's interesting that it hasn't been spoken about directly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably a legal thing.
Mm.
Just from the very limited knowledge I have of like what we do.
Mm.
Yeah, I think if there's going to be like a defamation, like, you know, whatever, then.
And maybe it, by not acknowledging it, it gives him more creative license to just
tell whatever story because it's, yeah. Exactly.
Which is, I'm assuming, is what it's ultimately become because it's not tied to anything.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, yeah.
But choosing to tell this story through the eyes of an actor coming in to play her as a character, like really, really amazing. And that was the part that I think in recommending it to you, I just thought that you would love because it's just like such a fun part of what we do, that part of filmmaking, and you get to really see into that in this film.
Mm.
And once again, we're referencing Inception. The last three episodes. Have we? Am I going mad?
Yeah, we have.
No, we have.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy.
Whoa.
So what were your overall thoughts coming away from this about their relationship, Joe and Gracie? How did you feel about it?
I felt like at first or maybe throughout, actually, it was looked at in as much of a non-judgmental way as possible, which is great. But ultimately, you can't deny, like, you can't not see that the issue with the power balance and the issue with everything that's gone wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really loved about the film and about Natalie Portman's character, who's called
Elizabeth.
Like, she's looking at this story, at this character, both these characters in her mind, and is trying to just understand them and justify their reasoning for both of these things. And I just thought that was really a really smart way to show that in a film. But ultimately, everyone who watches this film, it's going to be like, yeah, but it's so wrong, and it is. And I don't know. I just thought it was dealt with so well.
Yeah. Mm. Is it like if you're watching like a documentary about something like this, or even like it's something that's used in TV a lot or film a lot, that it be told through the lens of like the police officer, like investigating it, or like a journalist investigating it. But she's trying to like find out the intention to like get under the skin, and that's so interesting.
Yeah, I think what I really like is. Well, I guess in terms of that relationship, or like what I think about it, I think from an outsider perspective, it's like quite clear the like manipulation or whatever. But when I think about his experience and his reality, I don't think he thinks that he has been like mistreated.
Not at first.
No.
No.
No. And I don't know, the more I think about like life, it's just like your own reality is your reality, but all of our realities are different. But you actually can't change someone else's. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about what's morally right or wrong, but I just think that like May Jo, the fictional character, like make his decisions and be like happy with them, you know, and it actually doesn't really matter what I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think in this story and in the real, what this is based on, he does come to reckon with it somewhat. I feel like you're seeing at the end,
yeah,
him starting to want to pull away or like realize what's happened to him or something. Although you don't see that actualization, but I feel like he is starting. And like you were saying, it does very much become Joe's story.
Yeah. It was when I was watching it the second time, I was like, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I don't feel like Elizabeth or Gracie actually have that much of an arc. It's more that we like start to understand them more as characters. But Joe has such an arc, and it's, unless that's just me like seeing the obvious bits there, but that's what made me think,
yeah,
maybe this is Joe's story, and that these women are just like two pieces in telling it.
Yeah,
and I just thought, which is so cool.
Because you don't think that at all going into the film.
I don't know if that's the intention though.
Yeah, either. It's true. Maybe it's not,
because like I don't think you'd put those two on the poster.
That's what I found.
And
funny.
Say
yeah.
And have them double carded, like, you know, shared on a card if it was supposed to be the other guy's story. Like,
yeah, is that really actually like mean that it's lacking? I don't know. I mean, maybe. I loved it. I wouldn't say it's a lacking story at all, but it was just like, I was like, I don't know if Gracie or Joe, no, sorry, Gracie or Elizabeth change.
Yeah.
Elizabeth
definitely
does change because she's trying to become Gracie. But is she always like that? Like, is she always there to manipulate and get what she wants in order to fulfill a goal, which is to play the role at the end, but you just don't see it?
Yeah, that's true. She definitely goes on a journey and she learns about Gracie.
But it's funny that by like Gracie is this like sweet, seemingly sweet, the way that even like her voice and the way that she holds herself, like she's trying to come across, maybe on purpose, like she's manipulative in that way, coming across as this person. I think that she is obviously a master manipulator with the situation with Joe, because how do you get consent from a 12-year-old?
Yeah.
There's some disordered thinking or something that she can't help in her, in the way that she is. And it's not touched upon, but there's a lot of very erratic emotions in this. And maybe that's trying to hint towards some sort of diagnosis that isn't like explained. And the thing is as well, the way that Mary Kay Letourneau says that who this is based on, I think, she always refers to their relationship as an affair. And she just doesn't understand that what she did was wrong, but, you know, he pursued her, and she comes up with all of these reasons. And I feel like, you know,
that's crazy.
People do convince themselves that, like, nobody's coming, like, trying to be an evil person, are they?
No, they just, like, people act and, from, yeah.
And that's what's so dangerous. I think that's what makes a dangerous person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is when they actually can fully... they justify it so much in that brain. That's what it's dangerous.
And somebody as well who will repeatedly make mistakes, social mistakes, because they really do not see anything wrong with what they're doing. And you know, this, I think the other thing about the acting, using the actor as a lens to tell this story, is like, I feel like, is this gonna be, are they married now and they've carried on with this relationship as a facade because they want to sort of like prove people right? Yeah. And then you've got someone coming in who's like going to be putting on a bit of a show and a facade. And like, are those things linked in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Just to keep it going and continue to justify the reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Have you ever worked with a method actor?
No.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd really love to. I'm just so fascinated by the process of preparing for a role. Like, have you ever, you've worked on a real life character, which you've had to like research and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like self-initiated, or is it set up by, how does this sort of work?
That's self-initiated. And I feel like everyone's process usually is. And like the director will just come in and help facilitate whatever works best for you. But that's like a dream to go and do that. It would be so scary to like do it, but I feel like it would be like an amazing life thing to do, you know, like go and like really shadow a family and build the character. But like everything that Natalie Portman was doing, I was like, I could so imagine, like even like when she just like is like rehearsing in the room, like looking at herself in the mirror, I'm like, we all do that. Like you read a scene and then you like go, and then you like say it out loud like whatever. I thought it was like really beautiful, and doing it through the lens of an actor versus doing it through the lens of like an a police officer or like whatever, you really can have someone asking really like personal questions with no need for a filter, because you can just be like, oh, if you're not comfortable, like that's fine. Whereas when someone's coming in like and investigating something and they have an agenda, then there's immediate reason for someone to have a guard, you know what I mean? But it's just like she's living in their house and like sitting in the places that they sat, and like, yeah, it's just like a really clever way of getting under the skin of Gracie.
Would you have liked to have known more about Elizabeth? Because we don't know her outside of this context at all.
I don't think I minded not knowing her outside of the context.
Yeah.
I mean, the context is that she's obviously really famous and known, and everywhere she goes, people know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if this is this true? I'm just thinking of my own, right. I don't know if I loved Natalie Portman's performance or if I was like blown away by it. But I don't know if that's her fault or if that's just because the character didn't, I just didn't feel like she, like I said before, I just don't think she had much of an arc except for learning about Gracie, which is fine. Maybe that's all she was meant to do, which is great. Actually, you know what? I think Delete that.
I'm going to change my mind.
Because I've just thought that monologue that she does at the end to camera, I thought was really, really bloody good. So, shut up.
Do you think that it was hard maybe to connect with her because you feel like she's the sane one and then she starts to lose grip and you're...
That's true. She does lose grip. Yeah, maybe I'm being unfair there. She does kind of like, she's really... No, I think throughout she's really poised. And like she walks into a room and she never falters. Or yeah. Is never nervous of asking a question to one of these people that she's around. And Maisie, you just said that if you were doing that, that could be quite scary to do. Mm-hmm. But she never seems scared. Her character never seems scared to ask a question or by being surrounded by these people. And maybe that's what I didn't love about the performance, because I was like, this seems so easy for you.
Well, there's no vulnerability, is it?
Yeah, maybe it was that.
But like for that to be like Elizabeth as a character, it's like there's a certain... This can be debated, but like there's a certain ego that comes with playing a real person, whether it's a biopic or like there's a certain amount that you have to back yourself to be like, yeah, I'm going to go into this person's house and I'm going to take their life and I'm going to like ask these really personal questions so as I can understand like my motivation, so as I can go and perform and be hailed as an actor and celebrated as like my greatest life achievement. And it's like you're just taking someone's life, and like this is someone's actual life, you know. So there has to be a certain disconnect from empathy in order to be able to do that, because you're going to have to form your own opinions about someone in order to understand their motivations, because they're not coming from within in a way that's like accepted and understood and loved. Like the line of her questioning is so like, you're insane. Why are you insane? And of course Gracie in Gracie's eyes is not insane. So how can an actor who already has this judgment of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you see it all the time, like, you know, I think the show that I have just been in, The New Look, we talk about Coco Chanel and hearing Juliette Binoche, who plays her, really try to understand the decisions that Coco Chanel made, which are things that like none of us would agree with or do. But you have to, as an actor, like you have to remove all of the sort of like judgment to try and understand a person, but you're still always going to have like that bias. But you know, Coco Chanel is no longer with us and there's a bit of distance from the past and like, you know, it's kind of a bit of a different setup, but yeah.
It's like she's gone into this house trying to have empathy so she can understand the character in order to be able to play them and know where the intention is coming from. But at the end of the day, you're going in there for selfish reasons and it is exploitative.
Yeah, totally.
And then Joe says it. Joe says it, he's like, because she talks about him as a character to him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And then he's like, what? Like, this is my actual life. And that's so true. I feel like I've full on 360'd in my thoughts there. Yeah. Mad.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying though. I think that she's a bit of an unreliable like lead in that you don't know, she's unpredictable and you don't know what she's going to do. And she also doesn't like, we don't side with her and we don't empathize with her because we don't see any vulnerability. And that's like how we empathize with people.
Yeah.
But it makes sense when you talk about it in this way that, yeah, that's what she would have to do.
And then she's just like flicking through casting tapes, like.
Which was vile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird
seeing those young boys.
Yeah, but like that's the thing, it's like there's no mirror to herself and her morality in this whole thing, and instead we're interrogating these people who are just like, you know, living quite a very honest life. It's not something we agree with, but like it is a very honest you know, they've never hidden like their agenda or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I'm siding with anyone, but no. I just like, it's an interest. This is the sort of layers that this movie has brought up, I think, which is what makes it a good one for me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So one of the writers, Sammy Birch, who actually used to work in casting as well, said that you could do it with the reporter coming in to get the scoop, but it makes so much more sense to us right from the beginning that this was an actress and that it was not someone with any kind of ethical or moral code.
Yeah.
Not saying that all actresses have no ethical or moral code.
But there's a certain, like, piece of that you have to park at the door, I think, if you want to, you know, do that.
Yeah.
Because you can't hold both in your head. If you do, when you stand up on the stage and pretend that there's like nothing exploitative about what you've just done, then.
Well, talking of exploitation, it's sort of like a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy potentially, because so Mary Kay Letourneau is not alive anymore. She passed away a while ago. The real couple broke up just before she passed away. So Joe's character in May December has this, you know, coming of age, really, you know.
Yeah.
So weird to say that for a guy who had kids at the age of 13, you know. But there was an article, I think it was in Hollywood Reporter, about Willy Fallow and his reaction to the film. And he said that nobody ever consulted him, got in touch with him to let him know that it was happening. And he's gutted because he would have really helped them make a great film. And he said, this is a quote, "I'm offended by the entire project and the lack of respect given to me, who lived through a real story and is still living it."
That is shit. Well, that's why they haven't spoken about, that's why Todd Haynes hasn't said. That's so horrible, especially because he's like, he would have liked to have been a part of it. And
yeah. Again, being exploited.
Yeah.
By shit. Hollywood.
Oh, that's really horrible.
That's really
to hear.
Shit, isn't it?
It's really shit. And I think that Charles Melton does such a good depiction of this character, because, which is crazy because he never spoke to the guy.
No.
But he does come across, like, in the interviews that I've seen with him, as very childlike, reserved, unaware in ways, quite naive, but generally like a very kind-hearted person who just wants everyone to get along and like everything to be okay. So I was really, really sad to read that in that article.
Yeah. Makes me feel kind of a bit weird about the movie, to be honest with you.
Bit icky.
Oh, no. That's such a shame for Charles Melton as well.
There must be a reason, but I just wish that someone could say it, because this just feels off.
A reason that they wouldn't have contacted him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
There has to be something.
Yeah. What do they think that his version would have been? Like, yeah.
Yeah,
because maybe for all of the reasons that we've just said about these women in this story taking advantage and it being them at the forefront of the film, even though it does become his story a little bit towards the end, maybe he still has a lot of respect for the person who Gracie is meant to be, you know, portraying.
Yeah, sure.
And doesn't, maybe wouldn't want it to be cast in a bad light at all.
Yeah. But to have not even been like asked to understand like what his stance on that would have been, because it sounds like he didn't even know it was happening. You know?
From what I read in that article, I'm pretty sure that's what it said. But I mean, his quotes in there are pretty damning, to be fair.
Whoa, that's, yeah, mad.
Doesn't it make you feel a little bit differently about the film?
Yeah, it does actually.
But, you know, it's a standalone. If you don't think about the real story as a standalone film.
Oh, it's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. I think it's like already such a complicated story and then you've told it in a really amazing way. So like when I, not that we need to, but if I were to compare this with The Iron Claw, which are two like real stories that have been like adapted. Like, I just think what they've done with May December is they've like made a movie. My favorite thing about the movie.
No, but they've enhanced it.
Enhanced it. They've adapted it for screen.
Yeah.
Rather than just telling the series of events that are baffling and unbelievable and remarkable. They've like made a movie. and I'm not saying that that's like what everyone needs to do. Like everyone's got their different style and that's why filmmaking is like beautiful. But yeah, I maybe some of my qualms with The Iron Claw is that it could have had a little space of the May December variety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just doing something a little bit odd to like get us into the story where you're following Natalie Portman, who you kind of ditch at the beginning because you're like, I don't love you, but I love the answers that I'm getting from these other people. Mm. You're not the hero of this story really, but I love that I'm getting in through your eyes because you're really going to those places that I'm desperately curious about.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very out of the box way to get a new perspective on a story.
Yeah.
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 So what do you think then about that that way of telling this story? What do you think the tone was? And let's just talk about some of the filmmaking choices. The music,
yeah.
The soft focus.
Yeah.
The zooms. For God's sake, the zooms.
I loved the zooms.
Yeah. What do you think?
I just thought it was like really just a whole new kind of, actually, it felt like a classic movie. Do you know
the
what I mean? Like
an old, especially, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like an old classic. A modern take on an old classic.
It was very melodramatic.
Very. Yeah.
Like and telenovelas, you know? Like
very.
Not American soaps. Like,
I don't think we'll have enough hot dogs. And then they had so many hot dogs. It was hilarious. Yeah, I just thought that it was brilliant. Like, I think it just works because they're making a movie. She's a big Hollywood actress. This woman is like slightly out of touch. The whole story itself is so publicized and so like tabloids and like paparazzi. And it just like, it really felt like it orchestrated together. And I, you know, when we talk about Poor Things and we were like, why did it go into like the circle? Like, and I said I liked it, but I just had no idea why. A lot of the choices in this were like baffling, but I kind of felt I knew why, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. That dramaticness is, yeah, exactly like you say.
Mm.
It's because it's dramatic.
Yeah. It's because it's dramatic. Yeah. It also, I feel like it reminded me a little bit at the beginning of what this was meant to be about probably is like very early noughties, late 90s, like documentaries, American documentaries, which are like very sensationalized.
Mm. Yeah.
And I can't think of it.
Are you thinking of like Jim and Andy? No. As a reference, no.
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 Is that the one with?
With Jim Carrey, like?
No, like like a documentary, like reality TV documentary type things.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Very corny.
Like crime stuff as well. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And just so sensationalized.
Yeah.
When it's already like bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool because I suppose a lot of this like, would you say high concept? Well, not high concept. The concept was obviously, there was a very cool concept that's obviously come from the script. But then Todd Haynes has also added this extra like the music and just the whole way that it's directed just adds this extra layer of heightenedness.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just works so well.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't Todd Haynes directing this, it would have been a very different movie. I don't think it would have been as interesting to me as what this is.
Yeah.
Like, if we're talking about whether or not it's a good film, I think it's a brilliant film.
Yeah.
if we're talking about whether or not it's like ethical, maybe no. Mm. And then do you base your favourite movies on whether or not they were ethical? And that's like a whole other conversation in itself.
I cannot believe that they didn't. I can't believe that they didn't talk to actual family. Because that scene, because I actually thought that in the film, it does actually talk a little bit, or it brings up themes of like ethical, of the ethics of filmmaking or storytelling about people's lives. So to have not have done that in real life, actually, that's what I find mad.
So I've got a further quote from this article, which said, Willy Fellau had seen May December and came away deeply dismayed at what he feels is yet another example of Hollywood and the media exploiting his story and his pain. What he can't understand most is why he was never once consulted by the movie's director, its screenwriter, nor the actor, an award season favourite who played the character so clearly based on him. And I wonder if the filmmakers deny that it's based on that, or they just keep shtum.
This is what I mean. There has to be a reason, whether it's legal, whether it's like creatively. They were like, we don't want to open that can of worms. We want to tell the story that we want to tell. There has to be there. I just really feel like there has to be a reason.
Yeah.
That they maybe can't say.
And it's weird. Like they could have made it less linked through casting choices. Mm. Like they've been very specific in that casting.
Yeah.
And so why didn't they just try to get away from that if they wanted to?
Yeah. It feels really like silencing a little bit. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Where it's not like, very nice.
Shh, shh, shh. This is the story of your life.
Yeah.
Bury that.
Ooh.
Gross.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that he's okay because
what an insane life.
Yeah. Really
like
sad.
He must feel so, like, feel like it's really, really, like, you when you're going through anything, you just gravitate towards people who you know have gone through something similar. And like all of a sudden, like those conversations can start to happen and you start to really like, yeah, open up to people in ways that like you couldn't before. Who the fuck's he going to talk to about this?
Yeah.
Like, truly, like, would be isolating. So lonely, really isolating. Mm. Yeah. I hope he's okay too. Mm.
Okay, let's get into some of the specifics on filmmaking. Any guesses on how many days this took them to shoot?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm guessing like, I think they probably could have done it in like 24 days.
30.
23.
Oh, yeah. So close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What, did they take a bank holiday Monday or something?
I don't know. It was pulled together really quickly because Todd Haynes was on a biopic of Peggy Lee's life with Michelle Williams, which fell apart. And then they had this script that Natalie Portman approached Todd Haynes with when she was producing it. Oh. Todd Haynes then brought on Julianne Moore because he'd worked with her a lot before. And then it all kicked off all of a sudden. And I've heard him speaking about, he always worked with the same HODs as people tend to do. And for this, because of that reason, by the sounds of things, he had to work with all new HODs mostly. And he found it very scary, but I think the outcome was like...
Brilliant.
Yeah, you get more creative source. You might not have like the first hand with somebody, but...
Yeah.
That's cool. Love new that. Ideas, I bet. And yeah.
Yeah.
Nice and fresh. Keep it fresh.
Any ideas on the budget?
15?
Oh, no, these are big actresses. These are like, I think they're easily getting paid. Like,
would Natalie be, if she's producing, maybe she'd be doing it for cheap.
You're right.
She's a first time writer. But although okay. There's Todd Haynes, I don't know.
15.
I'm going to stick with it.
25?
In the middle, 20.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Great.
Nice.
Okay, so critics' response, I think that it's been well received, but it hasn't really got any. Nods.
Weird that.
Like, it did get one. The Oscar. Actually, it got more than one, I say. Oscar for original screenplay and Golden Globe nominations for all three lead actors, actually.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I think did it win Best First Screenplay at the Spirit Awards, I think?
That's right.
Yeah.
The indie.
That it just hasn't... Well, it's kind of done well. Yeah. Good. But yeah, maybe not good because now we don't know how we feel about the film.
Mm. Ah.
Yeah, I feel that way about awards season at the moment. Like this last year, I think we've had like an amazing year of cinema. I think you were saying that in like the last episode or episode before. But I have felt like it's been a bit like some of the things have been a bit like of a curveball for me. I've been a bit like, oh, I feel like all of these things would be like in the Oscars rumble, but I just felt like others would have like led the charge, like All of Us Strangers and this and even Iron Claw or, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. More so than like what we have seen. And that's fine. Like, I still think they're all great movies. But yeah, there's been a couple of movies that I've really felt like would have been more Oscar buzzy than they turned out to be this year.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, I think it's very deserving of the original screenplay. Yeah. This is anything but like totally. 100% original.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not because it's based on that. But, you know, the way that they've told it, the storytelling is really unique. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so now it's time for Letterboxd.
Yay.
Yay.
So
I hope they're funny, or are they going to be sad?
Can't remember. So I've picked out a few. There's one by Hung Cat, who gave it 4 stars. It's all soap and camp until Charles Melton cracks and you realise what you've been watching is a horror movie all along.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It's like silly. Mm. Like,
and then you see the casualty of it, the victim.
Yeah.
A review by Clara with loads of stars around her name. 5 stars. So scary how mentally you remain the same age you were when your trauma happened. Charles Melton encapsulated that so well.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're not funny. Jason DeSommer said, I couldn't tell if this was supposed to be a parody. Yeah.
There's something like very jovial about.
Did you laugh out loud at all?
Yeah, I mean, only the hot dogs bit.
Yeah, same.
The two dogs were really funny.
Yeah.
Do you know the two? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got really, it's not that funny.
What, just because they're funny dogs?
Yeah, they just they just look funny. Watch it back, you'll laugh.
Okay, great. I'll watch it back just for that moment. Or I could just Google dogs, you know?
Yeah.
And last one from Meg Shields, who gave it 4 star and said, Will Ferrell producer credit jump scare. Which agree. I was like, does that say Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
That is so funny. He produces some good films.
Good for him.
He did Succession.
Yeah, he does a lot of good stuff.
Some of Succession.
Very good. Well, coming up for the filmmaker, I've got info that Todd Haynes is directing a Joaquin Phoenix film. Which is a love story between two men set in the 1930s.
Ooh, oh,
lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ow.
Ooh.
That's exciting.
Okay. Any final thoughts, my friends?
You know what? Having a real morality crisis about this movie. And I think that it's really something that I couldn't say I've like solidified my opinion on, because I just think it's going to grow for me throughout my life. Like, who has the right to tell what story? I just don't think that it's clear. Is it the person who makes the best movie? Like, I'm just really not undecided on that. And this has like really thrown me again, because I think I used to say like, it's whoever's going to make the best movie. And then now that I've watched this movie that I think is an amazing movie, but heard the reality of that, I'm like, oh God, I don't think that at all anymore. So having like a little bit of a crisis about this film, we'll say that I think it's a great movie, but yeah, I'm like the morals of it, I'm now like struggling with a bit.
Yeah.
I am exactly the same. I'm so torn right now.
We both also had a tuna melt for lunch today.
Yeah, we
like,
did.
We are just...
we are exactly the same.
Also, what do you have on your lap over there?
Not hot water bottle, because you didn't give me that.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it. Sorry. She's freezing
over here. Sorry.
I also felt that. And I also can't make up my mind. It kind of just makes me think, maybe we just shouldn't make movies about everything. No, not full stop. Yeah. maybe we should just stop the film industry. No, maybe, because I'm like, maybe we should only make films if it's your story to tell, or if you can't. Yeah. Otherwise, we just shouldn't make film. Oh, it's really got me mind going. It's,
yeah, true. Like, I really think that I always struggle, and more so as I'm like going through my career, about exploitation and how far we push actors, how much we use real people when we cast them in stories and their lives. And is that exploitative if then they go on and they want to be an actor and they can't be an actor because they can't play other roles? And how do you like manage that? What's your duty of care? And I think that this really brings that up, but like on a much wider industry scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something that I just think we have to keep on thinking about. And I'm sure that the filmmakers of this, they know after, they can't be, they must be devastated after reading an article like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, they're not doing it to hurt him.
No, exactly.
It's really, it's a tricky thing to navigate, but I think we just have to keep on realizing when we might be falling into that trap potentially, and like how to best navigate it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think like talking, like, you know, them talking about that a bit more wouldn't go amiss.
Yeah.
You know what
notice
I mean?
Notice it. Don't do a Gracie.
Don't
and
do
ignore
a,
it.
Yeah.
Not, oh,
yeah.
Full circle.
Don't
there.
Do sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
Love a full circle.
Mad. Great chat, so girls.
Great chat.
What a great episode, Han. Well
would
done,
love
thank
to
you.
Know. Thank you. Would love to know what you all thought of it. So get in touch with us on social media. We are at Frank Film Club on Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at
filmclub@rap.world.
What they said. And follow us on YouTube as well, or whatever they're saying is subscribe on YouTube and please share. It really does. Don't out me.
So ageist.
Please do the things that you're meant to do on all the social media channels. And join us back here for more Frank Film Club.
Next episode, we are going to be talking about Naiad, which should be available to watch on Netflix. It was directed by Jimmy Chin. So give it a watch and we'll see you here next week.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.